Well, hey, everybody, and welcome to another edition of The Journey of Hope. Glad you could be with us today. The Journey of Hope is a podcast that's especially designed to address the issues that men and women face after incarceration. We're going to be talking today. There's been a lot of talk in the news lately about sentencing, and so we're going to touch on that briefly today. We're also going to talk a little bit about what to do if you become the subject of someone's hate because of your prior conviction. There are vigilantes out there. We're going to talk about how to handle that. That and more right after this. I'm Rodney Mathers, and you're on the Journey of Hope. Hey, y'all, love to hear from you. MathersRodney at yahoo.com. MathersRodney at yahoo.com. Let me know how you're doing. And as promised, we're going to talk a little bit about sentencing today. It's not something I like to spend a lot of time on. I like to spend our podcast talking more about ways to make our lives better as we're coming out of prison instead of the other end of the process. But I do want to express my views on sentencing today. And here's basically what I have to say. Either someone is dangerous to society, or they have some redeeming social value. And if you look at things, some people are just broken and they don't really need to be in society. And those kinds of people, they need to be locked up. I don't have a problem with that at all. What I do have a problem with is when people get these sentences, these medium range sentences, you know, like the 10-year sentences, the 15-year sentences. Those sentences, to me, they really just set someone up to, if they're not careful and they don't follow the right steps, it sets them up to never be successful again. It doesn't mean that everyone coming out, you and I are examples of people who can come out of prison and get themselves together, but a lot of people cannot. And the 15-year sentence, the 10-year sentence, I don't see the purpose in those ranges. Like I said, either someone needs to be locked up and removed from society because they're a dangerous individual and they can't function properly around other people for whatever reasons and whatever their acting out behaviors are, they need to be locked up and removed from society. But then if you have someone who is just in prison for a punitive reason and is being punished and has redeeming social value, then instead of 15 years, why not 5? I mean, doesn't it seem like there would be better uses than the 15-year sentence? I mean, it's just warehousing people. The 5-year sentence makes more sense. And I'm not talking about any particular crime or anything. It could be anything from a sex offense to a drug offense to, you know, whatever. Every situation is different, which brings up another point, the mandatory sentencing, which is just ridiculous. The 3 strikes and you're out. I got mixed feelings about that one. But when a judge has no discretion in the sentencing, then what's the purpose of the judicial process? You know, I just don't see where the removal of discretion from a judge and even a jury is going to benefit anybody. And I think that needs to be changed. And I think the medium range sentences for people that for all intents and purposes, deserve the right or have the right, or the jury feels like they have the right at another chance after their time of punitive incarceration, the longer that sentence is, the worse their chances are of recovery. And so my suggestion is that these medium range sentences just be eliminated. I don't think that a 10-year sentence is going to make anybody, feel the pain of incarceration any more than, say, a 6-year sentence. You know, so the difference in those years just makes no sense to me. Either someone has redeeming social value or they don't. You know, which is it? And to remove the discretion from the judge is just asinine. I don't get that either. Let's take, for example, someone who, well, let's just take a drug offense. Let's say that the jury finds the defendant guilty and their sentence range is 5 to 99 years, okay? First degree felony in Texas, 5 to 99 years, okay. So the jury goes back and deliberates, and there's always going to be someone on the jury that wants to give 99 years and someone who wants to give 5, so they compromise somewhere in the middle. And that's how you end up with some of these odd number, weird-like sentences, in my view. So I've been on a criminal jury. I was on a criminal jury twice before I got in trouble, and that's exactly what happened. I was on a criminal jury one time that was a robbery. It was a clear-cut case of guilt on videotape and so forth. And the guilt and innocence phase of the trial took about, maybe an hour. But we were in deliberations for 3 days because the sentence range was 5 to 99. And we couldn't come up with a good number. He had chosen for the jury to sentence him. So, and in Texas, you get the right to do that. And so 3 days worth of deliberation, and we finally settled on 12 years. And the reason that it came out to 12 years is because there were literally people in there that wanted, because he had a prior felony, that wanted to lock him up forever. And there were other people in there that wanted to give him 5 years. And so, you know, like I said earlier, what you have here is this ridiculous kind of situation. The sentence range should have been, in my view, the jury can decide. Let's do that. But let's say 3 to 7 years. Let's make it reasonable. You know, let's the high end of that, what would be the purpose in that? And so, you know, it was obvious from the beginning that he was not going to get the high-end sentence. And so, I mean, why would you go for 3 days arguing over this? The man obviously was going to get out. He ended up getting 12 years. I believe it was 12 and a half years. And I remember when we were deliberating, we asked the bailiff if we could ask the judge if he got X number of years, how much time he would actually serve. And the judge answered back that she could not answer that question. Well, after the trial was over, she had us go back in the jury room, and she wanted to know who asked that question. And it was a couple of us had that question in mind. And she said that it was not even legal for a judge to guess at where they think the person would be released at during their incarceration period. Like, say, if it was 12 years in Texas, you would probably have to do about half or so. She couldn't even say that. So, anyway, I guess I'll get off my soapbox here. The bottom line here is the mandatory sentences are ridiculous. There's no discretion from the judge there. What is the purpose of the judicial process if everything's going to be mandatory? The legislators go to, in Texas, they go to Austin, and they, you know, it's one of these issues where they get votes. You know, they say, okay, we're going to get tough on crime. And so they go down there and pass these ridiculous laws and sentencing and so forth. So anyway, the long sentences, yeah, it's okay for an individual who has lost his right to be in society. However, people that have a redeeming social value, or they commit a felony that is not the kind of crime in which you lock people up forever, those people don't need 15 or 20 year sentences. They either need something really short, I would say anywhere from 3 to 7 years, or their values are such and their character is such as deemed by the jury that they are broken and need to be locked up. So that's my soapbox. We need to get rid of the mandatory sentencing. The medium range sentences have got to go. We're going to talk more about other things that deal with people's lives after incarceration right after this. I'm Rodney Mathers, and you're on the Journey of Hope. Welcome back. Okay, let's talk for a minute about the way people treat felons in our society. And I'm not saying that people in our society that have committed a felony and are out of prison, I'm not saying that they should be, pat on the back for being, a good old boy. But nobody has the right to be discriminatory, to be ugly to vigilante kind of mentality, to point that towards someone who's been incarcerated, particularly people with sex offenses, okay? The thing about sex offenses in particular is that the media and the things that we hear on TV are usually these extremely heinous kid getting snatched off a playground and murdered kind of crimes. And so everybody lumps sex offenders into this one category. Well, I'm going to tell you something, and I want you to listen real good here because this is important. And you can disagree all you want, but I'm telling you this is a fact. There are degrees. There are degrees. And even though there are degrees, the crime is prosecuted the same. In Texas, for example, first degree felony, if you do what I mentioned earlier, first degree felony, if there is an inappropriate sexual contact between an adult and someone of a certain age, same crime, okay? Now, you people out there that fall into the category of having to worry about people looking at your name on the internet, let me tell you something. You don't have to worry about that. And I'm going to tell you why. Let those people look all they want, okay? And let them see the sentences. In Texas, for example, when you look at the registry, you see the length of the sentence. Now, if someone is convicted of aggravated sexual assault of a child and has a 10-year sentence, and then the guy next to him on the registry, aggravated sexual assault of a child, and has a 40-year sentence, hello, is there something that we need to be noticing there that's different? Well, think about that for a second. Hopefully, people that look at those registries look at things like that. And I think that some people do. In Texas, there's also a risk level given from the static, a test called the Static 99, where you have a range from 1 to 5 in the probability of reoffending. It gives a risk level. I know that around where I live, there are people that are moderate and high. I am a level one, which is low. Do people look at that? I don't know. It's prominently displayed on the registry. But if they look at it, great. But we can't assume that they're going to. And because of that, and because you are grouped into this nasty little category, and I'm not saying what you did was the right thing, man. You know it was wrong, and you know that that you don't want to go back to prison, and you know you're taking the steps necessary to never reoffend again. But the people around you, your neighbors, for example, they assume that you're not doing those things, and they don't even know what those things are. So, you're out in your front yard, and you start having a problem with a particular person driving by, flipping you off, yelling things at you. This kind of thing happens all the time. It hasn't really much happened to me, but I've heard about situations like this when I go to register. Now, I have had a situation, one. But, one, it's not something that's, and it's a long time ago now, so, but, I hear these stories when I go to register that people are having problems from their neighbors. Okay, so what do you do? Well, let's say, here's a scenario for you. Let's say somebody comes by your house and brandishes a firearm, and, you know, calls you whatever names they want to call you, and you're out there sitting on your front yard, you're mowing your yard, whatever, and they brandish a firearm. What do you do? Well, I heard this one guy say, well, I'm going to go get my gun and stand my ground. Okay, let's talk about that for a second. First of all, if you're listening to this podcast because you're an ex-offender, no matter what your offense was, and you own a firearm, you have a firearm on you, you might as well just turn the podcast off, because listen to me real good, okay? You're stupid, and there's nothing I can do or anybody can do to fix your stupidity. If you are a convicted felon and you have a firearm, give up, because you're going to prison. You're not thinking, and you know what? While you're at it, why don't you pull up your baggy pants, too, because you're probably one of those as well. But I tell you something, if you've got a gun and you're a convicted felon, you know, turn the channel. I don't even want to talk to you. I have no pill for fixing stupid. I have no way to fix stupid, okay? Now, having said that, you need to know that I'm not an attorney. I'm just throwing out some scenarios here for you to think about and for us to all think about. So if you can't pull out your firearm and stand your ground, then what happens next? Do you yell back at them? Well, some people might. Cooler heads usually don't prevail. When I had this kind of situation happen to me, I lost my temper. And, man, that doesn't mean it's okay, but I highly recommend you don't do that. Don't escalate the situation, okay? Number one, here's what you do. Don't escalate. Don't let it get any worse. Here's what you do, my friend. You go in the house, you pick up your phone, you dial 911. You got that? Let me say it again. You go in your house, you dial 911, and here's what you tell the 911 operator. You say, I'm an offender. If you're a sex offender, you say, hey, I'm a sex offender. And someone keeps driving by the house, yelling at me, and brandishing a firearm. Okay. You got that? Do you yell at them? No. Use the kind of mentality that you would use before you came home from prison? No. You got to get rid of that. You don't fight anymore. Okay? You don't fight anymore. You use the police to your advantage to keep people from messing with you. I'll tell you what. You call the police on that idiot, And I guarantee you, he ain't going to mess with you no more. I have found from talking to a couple of policemen that policemen in general have got kind of a disdain for vigilantes. I don't know if it's just built into their mentality or the way they work or whatever, but they don't like it. And the police have to protect you as a citizen, just like they have to protect people who have not been to prison, particularly if your sentence is discharged. Like when I had my situation, my sentence had discharged years before, and someone had found me on the registry. So, and you've been living as a citizen, nice and clean for a long time, and then this thing rears its ugly head, and that in itself is enough to piss you off really, really good, believe me. But you don't fight. You don't yell back. You don't flip the person off. You call the police. Okay? Let the police deal with it, and they'll protect you. They'll actually put a protection, two things here. One of the things they can do is they can file harassment charges if the district attorney will take it. The district attorney wouldn't take it in my case because it was just a one-time thing. What she was looking for was a series of events so that she could build a case. But, the district attorney can take it and file harassment charges. I know of situations where that's been done. I read about some situations. And if they brandished a firearm, those people are in trouble. I guarantee you, the police don't like people walking around with guns that are flashing them at people. Even in states where they have conceal and carry permits and all that kind of garbage. So, okay. Use the police to your advantage. Don't get in trouble. Okay? Okay, we're going to take another quick break. We'll be right back after this. I'm Rodney Mathers, and you're on the Journey of Hope. Mathers Rodney at yahoo.com. That's M-A-T-H-E-R-S. R-O-D-N-E-Y at yahoo.com. Drop me a line. And we've made it to the end of another podcast. I want to remind you that if God is for you, who can be against you? We'll see you next time right here on the Journey of Hope.